Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kowalski!
Midweek edition of Bucks Uncensored, and hello to you, all of you. Love the growth of this website. JoeBucksFan.com is the website. Love the growth of the podcast, though. Justin Pulowski and Kamish, as always, here for you on the Bucks Uncensored podcast, available on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. But first come, first serve at JoeBucksFan.com, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturday mornings. Typically, I record the podcast Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday nights. But for this midweek edition, I am recording on Monday night. Mainly because Election Day is Tuesday. Like many of you, you're listening to this now. To a new president that will take over the country. As of the time I'm recording this, I have no idea who that will be. But I do know that every time there's an election year, every 4 years when it comes to the president, I never really seem fulfilled. I usually seem uneasy, uncertain. And I'm going to feel that way no matter what happens Tuesday night. Either it's somebody who has not been in politics and we don't know how he's going to react to the pressures of being a president, or there's going to be a lot less money in my wallet. Either way, uncertain, uneasy, and I just enjoy my family, enjoy my sports, and try and enjoy my life. And so far, that's worked out perfectly for me. So instead of trying to squeeze this in on Tuesday night, we're doing it on Monday night. And unlike other podcasts where dive in a little bit, have a couple voice memos. By the way, if you've missed the last two podcasts that we've done, the reactionary podcast to the debacle on Thursday night against the Falcons, you want to check that out. Episode number 106, I believe that was. And the last episode, Starting to Fix the Bucks. Was I going to just unveil my entire plan? I'm not going to dive in deep on exactly each player, but halfway through this season, and this season hasn't played out the way I think you thought it was going to, if you're in the Bucks front office, what are the first steps you start to take to really start to fix this thing? I gave you my opinion. Check them out in the last podcast. After you listen to this podcast. But normally what happens is I talk a little bit, we play some voice memos, we have some fun. I just knock the shit out of you with some knowledge that I drop. Unlike any other Bucks podcast, they don't have knowledge. They just kind of root for the team. It's like an audio pep rally. That's not me. I'm informing you. Hopefully, creating your opinion, at least giving you knowledge that you can use so that you can go sound smart. I don't need to sound smart. I need you to sound smart and then tell people they need to come and listen to the Bucks Uncensored podcast. But no voice memos for this podcast. Oh no. If you did send one in, I'm saving it. I might have it for the weekend podcast. No, this one, we're just going to start with one dare I say, question?
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
This question is not a Twitter question. This question is not an audio question in form of a voice memo. This is a question that I've been asked by multiple people in person over the last 3 to 4 days. The Bucks are at the halfway point. They're 3-5 on the season. What would you like to see out of the Buccaneers the rest of the season? We know what we've seen in the first 8 games, right? We've seen an offense that has reverted to having, like they did last year, no weapons around their franchise quarterback, an offensive line that struggles to protect their quarterback at times, a defense that gets no pass rush, linebackers that continue to miss tackles, cornerbacks who are playing soft and passive and being taken advantage with their lack of height, and safeties who give up big plays. Oh, and a kicker who can't make field goals. But other than that, Brian Anger has been fantastic as a punter for the Bucks, I must say. In essence, a lot has gone wrong for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first half of the season. And while some of you might hold out for hope, many of you who are intelligent can see the real picture, can understand what I was saying in my previous podcasts, especially the last one, and understand that there is a bigger picture to be seen. That picture started with some of the items that I pointed out in how I would start to fix the Buccaneers. And some of them take place over the next 8 weeks. I feel like I've done this podcast before, and I probably did at the tail end of last year. Last year, when Lovie Smith was still the coach, though. And I said, this team, this organization, has to identify who they are moving forward with and who they are moving away from. That's what needs to take place in the next 8 games. That's what needs to take place in the second half of this season. JoeBucksFan.com had an excellent article. I'm not sure which of the Joes wrote it, but one of them did, and they said that they would lock Jameis Winston in an office, preferably Jason Light's office, by himself with a piece of paper and a pen, and have him write down the numbers of the losers in the locker room, the players that should not and will not remain in the organization, players who will only hold the organization back from their ultimate goals. I could not agree more with JoeBucksFan.com. And actually, when I said that a year ago, people thought I was using hyperbole. Now, I don't know if I would go to that extreme. I don't know if, personally, I would put that all on Jameis Winston. But I think he's a person whose input I would like to have. Not saying he has complete and total control over who stays and who goes. But I think he's got a good understanding as to the personalities he would want to surround himself with. Because ultimately you want him to be the fiercest competitor in your locker room, and I still believe that he is. Even though I think the surroundings are starting to wear on him. So I want to see which players, offensively and defensively, are long for this team. I already have my assumptions, my safe assumptions, as to who stays and who goes. I've mentioned the 9 or 10 players that I feel are safe, but there are plenty of players that I'm leaning towards keeping, such as Will Golston, Makeem Spence, Bradley McDougald, Adam Humphreys, and Charles Sims. Well, I didn't say that Charles Sims was safe, and I don't believe he's a feature back. I do believe that he's an excellent role player. He showed the type of role player he could be during last season. But he cannot and should not ever be a feature back again. He's proven a lack of toughness that Gerald McCoy would laugh at. And so there are still guys that I'm leaning towards saying, yes, keep. There are plenty of players that maybe you lean towards and say, that guy's definitely not going to be here next year. Chris Conte, not going to be here. Alteron Werner, not going to be here next year. Two right off the bat. And there are other old players that I think you would also say that about. And then there's a lot of players in the middle that you have to make the determination on. And again, you and I can sit here and evaluate what we see on the field, but ultimately we don't know the personalities that are behind closed doors. And those ultimately are the ones where you're going to find out, is he a winner or a loser? I want to see in the last 8 games, I want to see a team come together of the players that are going to be around. Of the 10 names that I mentioned in my previous podcast, those 10 players who are safe in my eyes, I want to see them rally around each other. Even if it's a team within a team, and they might not know who they are in terms of the group I view them as, but seeing some of them come together and fight and not get brought down by the malcontents that are around them in terms of having a losing mentality. Fight the cancer. Fight the culture. Be the competitors that we want you to be. Because the overall team and the overall attitude that has been portrayed by this organization for the last 8 years has been one of losers. You have to fight against it. And it might start out as a small fight, but that fight will continue to grow, because as you grow and you continue to chop away at that cancer by cutting and or trading players who don't belong, you will ultimately sway the tide in your favor. So that's what I want to see. I know that changes need to be made. I mean, this doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist to figure out. There's a reason that I've been calling this for the last several years. Is because as long as you keep certain personalities around, as long as you don't make any drastic changes to the roster, and they haven't, the same team continues to do the same thing on the field. The only changes that have been made is that head coach and coaching staff. And I'm sure the argument by some would say, well, if you didn't change the coach all the time, well, maybe the players, you know, who are now having multiple coaches would be much better at this point. You might be right. But the fact of the matter is coaches have changed. And if those players' mentalities are too weak-minded, kind of like Jonathan Banks pointed out, that he had, quote, lost his fire because of all the coaching changes, then those players need to be gone. Because those are not players you can win with. You need strong-minded individuals, not weak. And I think Jonathan Banks, his comments, should be echoed more and more. Where if he points to the coaching changes being what has been wrong with the Buccaneers organization and that he had lost his fire to play, you have to ask yourself and wonder how many more players feel that way. And if other players feel that way, then that's a good place to start when ridding the Buccaneers locker room of that losing mentality. I'll leave it at that. I want to see Jameis Winston get better, sharper. I want to see Jameis Winston lead a game-winning fourth-quarter drive in the second half of the season. We haven't really seen that, and I don't feel like he's had his moment yet. I think a moment was that Falcons run last year, breaking a tackle. It was fourth down. It was a huge play. But I mean a moment where he takes the Bucs offense in the fourth quarter, puts them on his back, makes unbelievable plays, gets in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown. Look around the NFL. Some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL are mainly measured on fourth quarter and overtime game-winning drives. Jameis Winston does not have many of those. I thought he would have it against the Rams. He didn't. The Bucs fell short. I thought he would have it against the Raiders. They did score a touchdown, but the defense, of course, could not step up when they needed him most, when they needed one play. The defense couldn't do it. The Raiders would go down, tie the game, then ultimately win in overtime. And to take a little bit again away from Jameis Winston, the Bucs offense, they had to go about, give or take, a couple of yards, but it was about 75 yards. 44 of those were through penalty. So I can't sit here and say that Jameis Winston led them on that game-winning drive. I want the moment. I want the moment where Jameis Winston is so on target and so unstoppable that it doesn't matter what a defense throws at him. At the crunch time and crucial time of a game, there would be no stopping that winning passion inside of him. Now, with that said, I don't know if he has the players around him to be able to do that. But I want to see him try. Because until he has that moment, I'm going to continue to wonder if that moment is going to come. And it wasn't too long ago where I was certain of myself we would see plenty of those moments. Again, he's a year and a half into his NFL career. But after watching him for many of those times in college, like many of you did, we saw those moments time and time again. It's odd that we just haven't seen those type of moments in 20 games, 20 NFL games or so. 24 NFL games. So I want to see Jameis Winston do that. I'd like to see young players on defense. I'd like to see a Quan Alexander continue to excel, fully understand the defense, and start to make plays. I want to see Vernon Hargraves step up and make some interceptions, getting comfortable in his role in this defense. Still a young player, will still get beat, but would like to see him, it start to click for him in the second half of the season. Would love to see the same from Noah Spence. Young players, the offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to and I need to see Donovan Smith get better. I need to see it. And much like Winston and other players, he is only a year and a half into his NFL career, but he's playing a crucial role at a crucial position in protecting the blind side of what the Bucs hope is their franchise quarterback. He has to be better in pass protection. And if he's not, it's okay, because personally I thought Donovan Smith was going to be a right tackle when he came out. And I think he's better than DeMar Dotson. And I understand that the Bucs gave DeMar Dotson a big contract, or at least a contract extension. But as I've said before, if you're the Bucs and you have cap room and you've got a player that's not contributing the way you need him to, shit, who cares? That's why you have this cap room, to be able to make those tough decisions, you would hope. And if the tough decision is to move Donovan Smith to right tackle in the offseason and bring in another left tackle, and that's what you have to do to build as good of an offensive line in front of Jameis Winston as possible, then you do it. Again, it comes down to making those tough decisions. But I think with Marpet and Pamphill and Donovan Smith, those are three guys that are going to be around for a while, folks. Like it or not. Bitch about about Donovan Smith or not, he's going to be around on this football team. He's not one of the worst, you know. He's not. Listen, I've seen bad offensive line play week in and week out in the NFL. He's not one of the worst offensive linemen in the league. He does get beat. I don't know if he's quick enough at left tackle, but I do see potential there, and I think he can get better, and I want to see him get better along with the guys inside at guard. I think the Bucs have three of their five offensive line positions. They're still missing two to have that complete offensive line. I wish I could say that I'd love to see a wide receiver step up opposite of Mike Evans. I don't think that wide receiver's on the team right now. I'd love to say that I'd love to see another running back step up and surprise. Maybe it's a late-round pick. I don't see that running back on the roster either. But the one final thing I would like to see is Roberto Aguayo start to come into his own. Bitch and moan and complain all you want. Roberto Aguayo's not going anywhere. He was a second-round pick. You can either embrace him and hope that he does well, or you can just bitch about cutting him each and every week. Either way, the same result is going to occur. He's going to be your kicker. I've learned that lesson. I hope you will as well. They will not cut him. They will not move on from him. They are willing to go through the growing pains in hopes that he becomes the stud kicker that they felt they drafted in the second round. Those are the things I'd like to see out of the team in the second half of the season. I'd like to see a refrain of drama. I'd like to see the organization stay away from getting thoroughly embarrassed week after week after week. Unfortunately, I just don't think they have the talent to avoid that. So I'll be watching the team as a whole, but I'll be watching individual players, and I hope the players will be watching themselves. But most of all, I hope a very close eye is being kept on the locker room by one Jason Light in further evaluating what needs to happen for this team to finally break out of the rut that they've been in for the past 7 years and truly start to rebuild and build up. Jason Light has to be ready to pull the trigger on big changes and big decisions that need to be made. But I've alluded to it before, And I firmly believe that the only way this happens is if the Glazers allow it to happen. I think they have had a much more influential, like it or not, believe me or not, I don't give a shit. I don't. But it's my belief that the Glazers have had a much tighter grip on the roster and the football side of the organization than people give them credit for. While I think Jason Light has a much louder voice now that Lovie Smith is gone, he does not have the final voice. It comes back to the owners. And while that makes sense because they do own the team, it would make a lot more sense had they had any football intelligence among the three of them. They do not, which has led to the Buccaneers being where they are now. So until the Glazer boys, all three of them, realize that they are not football people and do not know how to build a successful franchise, until they realize that, the team will never be able to move forward because they will always continue to make the wrong decisions and will always focus on trying to avoid negative publicity rather than trying to do what's right in winning on the field and building a successful organization. Because a successful organization is one that wins. And that description cannot be used for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since 2009 or even before that. iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean, those are places you can subscribe to the podcast. JoeBucksFan.com, first thing, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturday mornings. At Commish Online on Twitter, Facebook.com/Commish Online. I'm Justin Pulaski, the Commish, and I just nailed it.